If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
With an eclectic collection of trivia, water cooler knowledge, news stories, and motivational thoughts, this is the VoiceOver Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. I'm your host, Russell Newton. Thanks for listening today and hope you're doing well.
On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at
Socialism, the Failed Idea That Never Dies, written by Christian Niemitz, narrated by Russell Newton, production by Spoken Tome Media. You need to hear this. The red flag of international socialism waves from the palace and from all the public buildings of Berlin. Our long years of toil and battling for the righteous cause of the people are now crowned with success. The old, rotten regime, with its system of plundering the working classes, has crumbled to pieces. And for the benefit of my children and the children's children, I intend to set down, in a humble way, some little account of the beginning of this new reign of brotherhood and universal philanthropy. Eugene Richter, Pictures of the Socialistic Future, 1893. Chapter 1. An order has just been issued to reduce the bread rations of the entire population by one half, and to do away with the meat rations altogether. I find I shall henceforth be no longer able to give the same full account of events as they happen. The 12-hour day comes into force tomorrow, so I shall then not have much time for writing. I notice that I am regarded with such increasing suspicion that a search might be made, and my papers confiscated at any moment. Eugene Richter, Pictures of the Socialistic Future, 1893, Chapter 32. 1. The Enduring Appeal of Socialism. Introduction. Socialism is popular. Support for socialism in the abstract. Socialism is popular in Britain, not just among millennials, but also among people in their 30s and 40s. According to a YouGov 2016A survey, 2 in 5 British people aged between 18 and 50 years have a favorable opinion of socialism. Another 2 in 5 are not sure, leaving only 1 in 5 with an unfavorable opinion. Capitalism, meanwhile, has far more critics than supporters in the same age group. In fact, it has more critics than supporters across all age groups. In a similar survey, 43% of respondents said that having a genuinely socialist government would make the UK a better place to live. YouGov 2017A. 1 in 5 respondents were indifferent or unsure, leaving only 36% who thought that it would make the UK a worse place to live. In a complementary survey, only 29% of people between the ages of 18 and 50 agreed with the statement, "Competition among private sector companies increases living standards for the great majority of people, as it leads to new and better goods and services, creates extra jobs, and keeps down prices." YouGov 2017B. But as many as 37% agreed with the opposite statement, namely, "Competition among private sector companies reduces the living standards of millions of people because it helps mainly the rich, leads to poverty wages for many workers, and often results in shoddy goods and services." The remainder answered, "Don't know." Those findings are corroborated by a recent populist survey, which asked respondents about their main associations with capitalism. 2. The Soviet Union under Stalin. A whole nation marched behind a vision. Soviet Socialism. According to Marxist theory, the socialist revolution was supposed to start where capitalism was most advanced. In 1917, the Russian Empire, a semi-feudal, predominantly agrarian economy, was one of the least likely candidates. Trotsky, 1936, Chapter 3, writes, "Marx expected that the Frenchman would begin the social revolution, the German continue it, the Englishman finish it, and as to the Russian, Marx left him far in the rear. Russia was not the strongest, but the weakest link in the chain of capitalism. Tsarist Russia did not have much of a working class, partly because Tsarist economic policy restricted movements from agriculture to industry, thus artificially slowing down the pace of industrialization and urbanization." Cheremukhin, 2013, 3-7. The dominant position of government-backed cartels and high levels of protectionism further arrested industrial development. Politically, before World War I, the Bolsheviks were a fringe group with no serious hope of coming to power. The chaos and misery of World War I then prepared the ground for the bourgeois February Revolution of 1917. The February revolutionaries managed to overthrow the Tsarist system, but they did not manage to replace it with a stable government of their own. 8 months later, the Bolsheviks exploited this weakness to stage their own follow-up revolution. Initial attempts to build a socialist economy under conditions of civil war proved disastrous, leading to a collapse in industrial output and to the famine of 1921 and 22. So the Bolsheviks put the socialist transformation on hold and under the guise... 3. China under Mao Zedong. A revolutionary regime must get rid of a certain number of individuals that threaten it. Maoist socialism. By the 1950s, Western intellectuals had fallen out of love with the Soviet Union. But it did not take long for new utopias to fill that void. North Vietnam, Cuba, see Chapter 4, and above all, Maoist China. The People's Republic of China was established in 1949. But during its first decade or so, it attracted little attention from Western intellectuals. Then, in the late 1950s, two things happened. Firstly, the socialist transformation of the country began in earnest, first with the Great Leap Forward, and later with the Great Proletarian Cultural Revolution. The Great Leap Forward was the government takeover of the commanding heights of the economy, including the forced collectivization of agriculture, and an attempted industrialization campaign comparable to Soviet economic policies in the 1930s. The Cultural Revolution was a program of purging society of counter-revolutionaries, saboteurs, and remnants of bourgeois traditions, vaguely comparable to Stalin's Great Terror. Secondly, while China was initially closely aligned with the Soviet Union, the relationship between the two socialist regimes increasingly soured, leading to their eventual fallout, the so-called Sino-Soviet split. Relations became so hostile that for a while, a war between the two former sister states seemed likely. The Sino-Soviet split radically changed perceptions of China in the West. It meant that Chinese socialism was no longer tainted by the association with the now distressed. 4. Cuba under Fidel Castro. The beginning of building the new man. Hasta siempre, comandante. In 1997, the French pop singer Natalie Cardon recorded a cover version of the old Cuban revolutionary song Hasta siempre, comandante. The music video shows the singer, armed with a machine gun, leading a band of peasants, apparently to a rebellion. More and more people join in, and the band grows into a peasant army. The song became an overnight hit in France, Belgium, and the Netherlands. The iconography of the Cuban Revolution has long been absorbed into mainstream fashion and pop culture. In this process, it has lost most of its connection with Cuba as an actual country, or with the Cuban system as an actual political and economic model. It has simply become a way of projecting a generic rebel image of oneself. A quick search on Amazon UK has come up with a Che Guevara Cuban men's revolutionist hat, a pack of Che organic green mate, a metal tin sign plaque cafe bar wall decor art poster sheet, Che Guevara 726, and Ernesto Che Guevara Revolution men's or women's wallet, Che Guevara lighters, Che Guevara birthday cards, a Che Guevara unisex long wood or acrylic beaded fashion bling hip-hop gangster necklace. Although this is a customizable product, where Che can be swapped for Superman. A Che Guevara decal vinyl wall sticker, Che key rings, a celebrity star hardback iPhone case, Che Guevara pop art, a Che Guevara shoulder bag made from recycled material. 5. North Korea under Kim Il-sung, a messiah rather than a dictator. North Korean socialism. The division of Korea into a broadly capitalist South, the Republic of Korea, and a socialist North, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, represents a natural economic experiment. Reliable figures for the DPRK are hard to obtain, but what we know is enough to consider the matter settled. In per capita terms, South Korea is more than 20 times richer than North Korea. CIA World Factbook, 2017. The DPRK still suffered from severe famines as recently as in the 1990s, and without humanitarian aid from the ROK and Western countries, they probably still would. On average, South Koreans live about 12 years longer than North Koreans. Our World in Data, 2017. The ROK is a relatively liberal democracy, while the DPRK is a Stalinist garrison state, complete with forced labor camps and an extensive secret police. Every year, thousands of North Koreans risk their lives trying to escape. It's therefore no surprise that almost no mainstream Western leftist wants to be associated with that system today. But the situation was not always so clear-cut. Before the division in the 1940s, the North of Korea was more industrialized than the South, and the South only overtook the North in the mid-1970s, Young, 1995. Even then, the ROK's increased prosperity did not immediately lead to democratization or an improvement in its record on civil liberties and human rights. South Korea remained a military dictatorship until the late 1980s. The DPRK never enjoyed widespread support among the Western left, but it used to have some. 6. Cambodia under the Khmer Rouge, the Kingdom of Justice. Debates about whether one genocidal regime was a bit worse or a bit less bad than another genocidal regime tend to be rather tedious. But if we had to rank dictatorial regimes on such terms, it's hard to see how the Khmer Rouge would not come out on top. For this regime, the death toll is usually not stated as an absolute number, but as a proportion of the population, like for the Black Death or the 30 Years' War. Between 1975 and 1979, the regime led by Pol Pot, or Brother Number One as he was officially known, managed to kill between a fifth and a quarter of the Cambodian population through mass executions, famine, forced labor, and a general increase in abject poverty. The Khmer Rouge were an exceptionally murderous regime, but there was method in what they did. Comparable to Mao's Cultural Revolution, Khmer Rouge socialism was an attempt to not just restructure the economy, but to completely remake society from scratch. They forcibly evacuated the cities, which they thought of as cesspits of capitalist corruption, and forced people to live and work in rural communes. They banned money, exchange, books, religion, and all cultural norms and practices they associated with class differences. They confiscated not just the means of production, but personal property as well, as part of an attempt to create equality. They isolated the country from the outside world and strove for autarky. Since such extreme measures unsurprisingly provoked resistance, the Khmer Rouge had to resort to extreme brutality to push them through. Socialist Cambodia did not receive a great deal of attention from Western intellectuals. In absolute numbers, the circle of Western. 7. Albania under Enver Hoxha, the working class is in power. Mao mania began with the Sino-Soviet split. For Western utopia seekers, this split represented not just a foreign policy issue, but the hope of a fresh start. It created a clear dividing line between the old, discredited Soviet model on the one hand, and the great white hope of a genuine workers' and peasant state on the other hand. With the Sino-Albanian split in the mid-1970s, something similar happened again, albeit on a much smaller scale. This time, it was the Chinese model which represented the old and discredited form of socialism, while Albania represented the new hopeful. By then, Enver Hoxha, the country's socialist dictator, had already been in power for 3 decades. But Albania's fallout with the Soviet Union, its withdrawal from the Warsaw Pact, and finally, its fallout with China and its refoundation as the People's Socialist Republic of Albania created the impression of a fresh start, at least for those who were desperately looking for a fresh start. Since the country was no longer aligned with anyone, its version of socialism was not tainted by off-putting examples of socialism elsewhere. Hoxhaism was a particularly uncompromising, isolationist version of socialism, which, even relative to other socialist countries, severely retarded the country's economic development. When Enver Hoxha died in 1985, Albania was far behind even the poorest members of the Warsaw Pact, never mind the West. Today, despite some catch-up growth after a messy transition away from socialism, it remains one of the poorest countries in Europe. See Figure 8. But in the mid-1970s, in Marxist circles, 8. East Germany under the SED, the organized might of the working class. East German socialism. If an economic model fails once, twice, 3 times, or 4 times, the claim that it was a good idea in principle, which has just been badly implemented, need not be implausible. Poor implementation can ruin the best economic policy ideas. If it fails for an 8th, a 9th, and a 10th time, without there being a single positive counterexample, the claim begins to lose its plausibility. In this respect, socialists were lucky that during the Cold War, Western media representation tended to emphasize the commonalities, not the policy variations, between the different members of the Warsaw Pact. Their economic models were not treated as socialist experiments in their own right, but as carbon copies of the Soviet model. This was already reflected in our language. We talked about a Soviet bloc, a Soviet sphere of influence, or even a Soviet empire. Conveniently for socialists, this has the effect of reducing the number of failed socialist experiments. The failure of many different variants of socialism becomes the failure of one single model, which just happened to fail in a number of places at around the same time. But most Warsaw Pact countries had their own homegrown Marxist traditions. When they were occupied by the Red Army, the Soviet Union simply made sure that an already existing socialist party, or a merger of several of them, would gain and retain power. Once in power, these parties implemented the same policies that they would probably also have implemented if they had come to power in other ways. The most clear-cut case has to be the German Democratic Republic. The Socialist Unity Party of Germany, SED, which governed the GDR throughout... 9. Venezuela under Hugo Chavez. A different and a better way of doing things. It's called socialism. Socialism of the 21st century. The socialist experiments which were most popular with Western intellectuals were the ones that were least tainted by associations with earlier, now discredited experiments. Intellectuals had to be able to convince themselves and others that they had found a genuinely novel model of socialism, which had nothing in common with those earlier ones. It was not enough for a country to just adopt socialism. It had to contain the promise of a fresh start, a promise that this time will be different. See Hollander, 1990. Mao mania started at the time of the Sino-Soviet split. Hoxhaism started at the time of the Sino-Albanian split. The Cuban Revolution was popular because it was homegrown. The same was true of the Sandinista Revolution in Nicaragua. Pilgrims of a more romantic disposition were drawn to politically isolated places such as North Korea and Cambodia, because isolated places could not be tainted by associations with earlier, now discredited attempts to build a socialist society. The German Democratic Republic, in contrast, received some praise, but it never inspired starry-eyed enthusiasm. Venezuela mania is an extension of this pattern. It took off around the time that the Venezuelan government started to brand its policies internationally as a new model of socialism. It defined this new model not just in opposition to capitalism, but also, crucially, to earlier socialist models. In 2005, President Hugo Chavez was a keynote speaker at the World Social Forum, an annual conference of various anti-capitalist groups from around. Summary. Socialism is popular in the UK, not just among students, but also among people in their 30s and 40s. This is confirmed by survey after survey. Surveys also show that support for socialism in general terms is matched by support for a broad range of individual policies that could reasonably be described as socialist. Curiously, support for socialism in the abstract is not matched by positive perceptions of any actual example, contemporary or historical, of a socialist system in action. People with a rose-tinted view of, for example, the former Warsaw Pact countries, of Maoist China, of North Vietnam or North Korea, are a small minority in Britain today. Socialists have successfully distanced themselves from the over 24 failed attempts to build a socialist society. Their claim that these systems were never really socialist, but represented a distortion of the socialist ideal, has become conventional wisdom. Today, holding the failures of, for example, the former Soviet Union against a contemporary socialist is considered crass and boorish. Yet, while socialists distance themselves from contemporary and historical examples of socialism, they usually struggle to explain what exactly they would do differently. Socialists tend to escape into abstraction and talk about lofty aspirations rather than tangible, institutional characteristics. Those aspirations, for example, democratizing the economy, however, are nothing new. They're the same aspirations that motivated earlier socialist projects. Socialism has never fulfilled those aspirations, but this is not for a lack of trying. The not-real socialism defense is only ever invoked retrospectively, namely, when a socialist experiment has already been watched. This has been Socialism, the Failed Idea That Never Dies, written by Christian Niemitz, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2019 by the Institute of Economic Affairs. Production copyright by Spoken Tome Media. You need to hear this. Please make sure to visit Amazon.com for more information on this book and the author. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the VoiceOver Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.